Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. My text begins with, well, most of us are back. Well, not all of us are back, but many of us are back. Thank you so very much. I hope that you're settling back in now that we are on the halfway point in our Christmas season, past the New Year's. I hope everybody else will be back soon. We've had some time off. I hope you made your trip to Grandma's house. Over the river and through the snow to grandmother's house we go. Visited cousins. Welcomed kids back from college. Did anybody hit the slopes? Any snow skiers? No. Anybody go to the Bahamas? Anybody make it to New York? New York seems to be making it here, actually. I think the whole state is just traveling through. Generally, when we think about people of the ancient days, we think about us traveling quite a bit, but we don't think of people in the ancient days traveling that much for holidays. We think about our lessons for the last 2 weeks. We can say Jesus has been on the move quite a bit, to tell you the truth. We see Jesus really did travel about in those early days. Of course, most of the recent travel for us has been for pleasure. Perhaps the real surprise is that Jesus travels, but Jesus travels quite a bit, and he's always traveling on business. We don't really think of Jesus as being a business traveler. But our text reminds us this morning, for all of the texts that Jesus does, for all of the traveling that Jesus does, he never really leaves home. For he is the presence of the Lord God. And whoever has seen the Son has seen the Father. God the Father is with Jesus throughout the entire time, whether he's at here or whether he's at home or wherever he is. And yet Jesus' life is an amazing series of business trips. The truth is, Jesus has been on the go since the very beginning. The first and foremost, I think the most amazing business trip that Jesus ever takes is the fact that he has left his throne to the right hand of the Lord God Almighty and come down to become a single-celled organism. Can you think of any more humiliating fact than that for the all-powerful maker of heaven and earth? That single-cell organism is called a zygote. It is the very first cell formed by a living human being. And that zygote is a human being, by the way. It is a human zygote. It's not a dog zygote. It's not a horse zygote. We make a differentiation. It's a human being. That is a fact of scientific fact. Zygotes are produced by the fertilization between two haploid cells. Now, haploid cells are human cells, but they're not humans. You have an ovum, an egg, or very, very, very commonly, you may call the seed. It is a human seed. You have an ovum from the female and the sperm from the male, and those two combine, and they combine, and they form a human zygote. That's quite a trip right there. The Almighty God all the way down from heaven to become a human zygote. It's mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling. Then a growing baby inside Mary, bouncing along on a donkey. Probably wasn't really a donkey. Mary probably walked. Most likely she walked all the way from Nazareth to Bethlehem. No Holiday Inn on the way. No luxury condo when she got there. Last Sunday, we saw Jesus as a 40-day-old baby traveling from Bethlehem back up to Jerusalem for presentation. This is probably Jesus' second trip to Jerusalem, maybe his third, depending on how Mary got to her cousin Elizabeth's house and how she got back. Jesus goes for his presentation as was required by the law. Exodus chapter 13, verse 2, consecrate unto me the firstborn. Whoever is first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both man and beast, is mine, and every firstborn of man among your sons shall be redeemed. After the presentation and the altar, a ride back to Bethlehem before a frantic dash to Egypt, only to return to Nazareth a couple of years later. That catches us up to our text today. Now Jesus takes another new exciting trip, a business trip. Again, he's traveling to Jerusalem, maybe his third time there. It's the Passover, the annual commemoration of the Exodus. Jesus remembers the Exodus quite well, unbeknownst to everybody else. Jesus was actually there at the Exodus. All of these people are talking about the Exodus as is its history. Jesus was there. He saw it. He's talking to his teachers. From 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I want you to know, brothers, that our fathers that all walked under the cloud and they passed through the sea and all were baptized into Moses, into the cloud and into the sea, and they ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. And they drank from that spiritual rock that followed him, and that rock was Christ. You can imagine how much the teachers of Israel could have learned from an eyewitness to the Exodus. Jesus is 12, the age of religious maturity. He goes up with his parents to celebrate the Passover, maybe for the first time. Maybe he's been there before. It doesn't quite tell us exactly. Lo and behold, the trip that his parents expected him to make, the important trip of going back home, Jesus, for whatever reason, decides not to go. The text doesn't say that he's done this on purpose. He may have just gotten left. Maybe they just assumed that he was doing what he was supposed to be doing. But all of this travel was on his father's business. It's interesting. That's the way the King James Version renders it. He tells his parents, "Don't you know that I would be about my father's business?" Which, by the way, is the worst possible translation of that phrase that I can even think of. It's a horrible translation. It barely even renders anything according to what the text says. The translator, by the way, is probably making apologies, because remember, this is King James. This is 17th century England. The translators are making apologies for Jesus' what you might call horrendous behavior. By the way, Jesus then seems to be chiding his own parents. His parents come back. They've been searching for him frantically for 3 days. "Where have you been? Where have you been? We've been looking everywhere for you." And Jesus is like, "Duh. You didn't think to look in the temple for me." Which, by the way, is intolerable cheeky behavior for a 12-year-old in Victorian England. Which is why the translators are trying to help Jesus out a little. Jesus doesn't need any help. He seems to be chiding his own parents. After realizing that he had been left, he just goes to the temple and waits on them to come pick him up. It takes him 3 days. It takes him a whole day to figure out he's missing. They search for him. He's been missing for 4 days. Jesus is in the temple, exactly where you would expect Jesus to be, discussing Scripture. Jesus is absolutely at home. He's literally at home being about his Father's business. He is already at work. Jesus, at the ripe old age of 12, is already at work bringing light to darkness, explaining the things of heaven unto men. And Jesus' travel motif continues throughout his entire career. He's always traveling on business. The end of the Christmas season is not the end of his traveling, it's the beginning of his traveling. When we're looking at the different books of the Bible, I love the book of Mark. The book of Mark, by the way, has always been my go-to reading gospel. Probably the best piece of literature as far as the gospels is concerned in the book, in my opinion. It's what I go to when I want to read the gospel, when I just want to read it. Very sort of to the point. He's here, he did this, he said this, he's here, he did this, he said this, he's here, he did this, he said this. John's my favorite gospel to preach from because John adds in all of these minutiae and all of these little points that the other ones don't talk about, which is why I like to preach on it, because then I get to talk about the details. I know sometimes that's boring, but for theologians, it's sort of my time to geek out a little. Luke is my favorite gospel to teach specifically because of this journey motif. In the gospel of Luke, Jesus is always on the move. Jesus is always here, there, and everywhere. And you get the idea from the Gospel of Luke just how busy Jesus was as he was doing about his Father's business. Today we have the third reported trip of Jesus to Jerusalem, first in utero, second at his presentation. Today at this Passover makes the third time he's been there. Jesus is going to come back at least three more recorded times, the last one 20-some years later to finish his business that he had been sent to conclude. Now, all that travel for business, and yet Jesus never really leaves home. A more widely translation of verse 49, a better translation. Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? Jesus didn't make the trip back to Nazareth just yet because it wasn't time for him to leave the temple. It was not time for him to leave his Father's house. Jesus would often in his ministry return to the temple. And the most particular is that sixth recorded time that Jesus comes back, that time that we call Holy Week, when he would finish his Father's business. But even so, Jesus is never really away from his Father's house. You see, the temple itself was a symbol. The temple was a symbol of the presence of God. Just like every single one of our churches is a symbol of the presence of God in our community. Every steeple, every church sign, these are symbols of the presence of God amongst his people as God dwells with his people in, with, and under a nation. And since Jesus is one with the Father, wherever Jesus is, so too the Father dwells. Jesus is in the temple. Jesus is in his Father's home. Amazing, the teachers of the law. It's amazing that none of them realize that here sitting amongst them, inside the symbol of the presence of God, is the very presence of God. For whoever's seen Jesus has seen the Father. Therefore, when we are here, when we are here in this church, or any Christian church for that matter, or even a chapel dedicated to the Lord God Almighty, when we are here, when we are in our Father's house, we too are about our Father's business. Christ is here as he has promised to be in word and sacrament ministry. He is absolutely and really here as he has promised to be here for you, with you. He is really here as he baptizes. He is really here as he speaks through his called ministers of the gospel, as he speaks throughout the world, that gospel given unto the world, the forgiveness of sins, of life and salvation. Jesus' very body and blood is actually really here. He is present in this altar, in his Father's house, being about the business he was sent to be about. He is truly here, present with us today. And all of that means that all of the business of the Father's house, all of his business, finished upon the cross, that was the Father's business. Forgiveness, life, and salvation, God's presence in our homes, God's presence in our families, God's presence in our workplace, God's presence in our school, here for us as we travel about, as we go from here and there. We take the presence of God with us. We take the Holy Spirit with us, who's also about the Father's work. In Jesus' name, amen.